You're listening to Paco Radio, brought to you by Senol on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Welcome back to Paco Radio here on FNR Football Nation Radio, brought to you by Senol. Nick Tabano here today. We had Nick Georgopoulos on a little bit earlier, the under-16s coach of Pasco Vale. I'm bringing you just a quick update live from Dandy at the moment. FFA Cup clash between Dandenong City and Pasco Vale, 0-0. That game's just kicked off, a few minutes in. If you want to catch any of that, make sure you head over to the NPL Victoria Facebook page. Next guest, though, we've got Christian Sintsev, just making sure I got that one correct. Welcome to the show, mate.
Thank you very much.
Yep. Pleasure. Just want to come a little bit closer to the mic, mate. Yes, no worries. Perfect. All right, Christian, let's talk a little bit about yourself, man. Under 14s coach, when did it all start? You're telling me a little bit about it. You know, you've sort of bounced around a little bit, you know, worked your way up. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I started coaching when I was 15.
Yep.
Just did a bit of academy coaching through Cover Academy, which I was at for 3 and a bit years. And then, after my first year doing academy coaching, I got offered a job doing like assistant coaching at Bundoora under 10s. And then from that point on, I think it was like 2 months into the season, I got asked to do coach a team. So coached my first team on that year, which was really good, exciting young kids. It's good to develop them and see smiles on kids' faces playing, which is always the best, especially at that age. And then from that point on, got off, asked to go assistant coach at Moreland Zebras, which was under 13s and 14 stage, which was really good. Learned a lot under coach Nick Spaseski, which was, it was a good experience for me. It's where I learned a lot of my football under him for 2 years. And then from that point on, coached that existing team. He went on, moved to Spain. I took over the team, which was really, really good. It was a good experience for me, good development for me, and also for the boys. Hearing different voice, and also we had a pretty successful season, which is really good. We finished second on the ladder that year, and then from that point on, got asked to go to Pasco Vale, and then been there for say 3 years.
Yep.
Coached the under 12s there the year after. Then last year, we obviously had COVID. I wanted to take a bit of a break from coaching last year, just to go do a Europe trip, go to the Euros. Unfortunately, that didn't work out. So got back into coaching, COVID happened, and then, back into it this year under 14s, which is good.
I mean, that's quite a journey. I mean, you know, what got you into coaching? I mean, you know, was there a certain, influence or something? How did it start for you?
I just didn't think I had the capabilities enough to continue playing soccer. I just didn't see. I saw it more of a career path for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know what, I don't have that career site with football, playing football. So I started coaching, and then I had more passion for it. And from that point on, I actually had to quit playing football. Still played school football and everything. But then, from that point on, just started coaching and had my full focus on that. So you don't really, I guess, there wasn't too many 16-year-olds at the time coaching. And then going through, I think I've learnt a lot in myself. I've developed as a coach, as a human, like learning so much. That you don't usually see, which is really, really good. And I've never regretted it. I've always tried to consider going back into it, just fitness-wise and everything like that, and timing. It's out of, you got to do one, not the other.
Well, I mean, you balance that with full-time work and everything else. It all adds up, you know. Yeah. So, I mean, you know, and it is, you take a bit of time out of playing. You know, everyone else gets that one whole year of playing, and, you know, if you're not really doing much, unfortunately, you know, it sort of goes past you. Under-14s, tell us a little bit about your team this year, how you guys are going.
So far, I'm actually quite pleased. During the transfer period, a few players were in, and we had a few players come, a few players in, a few players out.
Yep.
We are in the second division, which I'm quite pleased about, because I do think for the level and talent that my boys are at, I think we are playing good competitive football. We came off of a good, nice 4-1 win this weekend, which is really good to get back into it. We were mid-table at that stage, and now we've pushed our way back up. But the only thing is with that, with the football under-14s, is trying to keep it consistent.
Yeah.
And then you got to get into their heads. Like mentally, they got to be strong. Physically, they got to be strong. So we've done a few good things as a group outside of football, which I think's helped them build like relationships within each other, because kids at that age, they're very shy. They keep to themselves. So you got to try and, as a coach, open up and open up to them. So I had to open up to them on some things. They open up to me. We do a few activities on the outside. And that works well. And I think that's very, very important, especially for that age, because or else you'll wait till 16 years old for them to start opening out, start talking more. Like sometimes you need a bit of players to get a bit angry with each other. Yeah. Like to have that aggression.
Yeah,
you need
yeah.
that aggression and you need that just hungerness, determination. And some players you're always going to have where they're shy about it. They're on. But it's good that for me, that's my task. And I think we're doing that really, really well. With my assistant coach Ross, and yeah, it's just always progression point after week after week.
I mean, you talk about the sort of the anger and the frustration, the ability to sort of tell your teammate, you know, you didn't do that. Like if you didn't track back, you know, you know, you let them know about it because, you know, we remember when we were probably junior players as well, same sort of thing. You're probably too scared to tell your centre mid, you know, say you should have got back, you know, or tell a guy, go mark. Has that started to come through now? You're starting to see it a little bit more, you know, players start to open up and feel comfortable at least, maybe showing that side a little bit more.
Yeah, definitely. And like it all starts in training.
Yeah.
That's the most important thing. So like I encourage and go up to players and say, hey, I want you to start being a bit more aggressive, start yelling at players, especially keepers, defenders. They see the whole ground, yeah? So they need to be able to give instructions to teammates, in a sense, tell them what to do, all right? If they've made a mistake, let them know about it, not just me.
Mm.
It's got to be a team. And I think that's what fires players up more and gets them in the right space, which is really good. And I think at the moment it's working really well, but it does take time.
And sort of your philosophy, your style you like to play. We know Nick likes to play a lot more attacking. Are you sort of a lot, you know, sort of same sort of stuff, look to go, or you play a bit more defensive? What's your philosophy?
Look, it always depends on who we're playing, of course. I do like playing off the break, so tightening up in the shape and defensive, like breaking, passing lanes, stuff like that. And that from that point on, good at counter-attacking. So on the weekend, like we'd had a lot of good attacking plays off counter-attacks, and that's what we work on a lot during the week, and we worked on that last week, and it paid off. So that's something I really like to do, is sit back, let them apply the pressure, we defend very well, and then we break on the attack, which it works, sometimes it doesn't, but that's where you always got to be working on it as a coach during the week, making sure the players understand their roles, individual roles, team roles. That's the most important thing. At least they know their team tasks, their player tasks. And then you'll see progressions going forward, game days, trainings. Sometimes you always have your up and downs. But for me, it's getting your defensive structure right first, and then if we can break them on a few counterattacks, it's always good to watch.
I mean, at 14, you know, that's sort of the age when you're starting to more understand, you know, tactics and, you know, shape and structure and all that sort of stuff. Before that, you know, it's more about, you know, development, you know, of sort of the motor skills and all that sort of stuff. When it hits that age, are you still finding sometimes some players, you know, struggling to get used to sort of the tactical side, or how do you try and break it up a little bit so that it becomes easier for them?
Look, you got to break it up in sections. Like you do 3 nights training, so you're focusing more on the same task. So if you're focusing on defensive lines, breaking passing lanes, you're going to work on it mostly during the week. And you've got to just do bit by bit. And sometimes for some players, they need that extra work. For some players, they know it straight away. And it is good. It is challenging as a coach because you've got to deal with different players sometimes and how they're reacting and their skills and their knowledge of the game. But you got to break it down. And that's the most important thing, I think, with players, especially breaking down into minor bits. And sometimes you go at it too hard, you're just going to confuse them. And they're going to hate it, and they're not going to want to train, stuff like that. So definitely minimizing it as much as you can, getting it through depthly to them so they have a complete understanding. And I think that's very, very important.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, it is, because the one thing you want as well is still that enjoyment factor as well, because, you know, you hear stories about kids that just, they fall out of love with the game when they're in their juniors because it becomes, you know, just too difficult or whatever other reason. This weekend, Oakley at home, I believe that this is your second meeting against them. What have you learned from the first time you played away? Now back on your home deck, what sort of game are you expecting?
Look, well, when we played them the first time, we actually played them, I think, 3 weeks prior in the preseason.
Yeah.
And we beat them 7-1. And then in the first game, we lose to them 2-0. So it's football, I guess. Like, we went there away in that first round, full of confidence because we just beat them 7-1 three weeks prior. I guess we came into it too cocky, too ahead. But, like, for this weekend, I think the boys have actually come out really positively.
Yep.
Especially over the last couple of weeks. because I know like they're doing a lot of preseason, like not preseason, COVID work during that break for 3 weeks, which was really good.
That's
good. I was very happy. Like they're doing a lot of fitness stuff. I was tracking them on Strava with their times of 4 kilometer runs and stuff like that, which is really good. And that's why when we came into this week, for the game against Dandy, which was quite pleasing. I was surprised in a sense.
Yeah.
So going into this week, I'm full of confidence. The boys are full of confidence. I think we can definitely get the 3 points and play good football. We have been playing really good football in the last couple of weeks, which is really good. So I'm expecting.
Yeah.
I'm expecting the best. I'm expecting the best this weekend. So hopefully, fingers crossed, we can show up in the game and on the day, and the next two training sessions, we make the most of it as well.
Obviously, now you're getting close to halfway during the season. There's been disruptions and everything else. You're in the second division. Mm-hmm. Is there that ambition still? You know, is it more about the football you want to play, or is it still you really want to try and make that push for promotion next season? Like, what's the goal?
Look, for me at the moment is development with these boys.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing, is development. I think, of course, everyone wants to win. People don't like losing. Hate losing, love winning. That's with everyone. You have to have that. And if you don't have that passion, you can't be a coach.
Of course.
You can't be a player. So definitely for me, it's development and getting these boys in the right space, in the right head, and getting ahead as well. So that's the main thing for me is development. And if we get there, we get there. At the moment, we're at the under 14 stage. It's not as serious in a sense where we have to be playing first division. We've got to be winning the league. Of course, you want to, but at the same time, you want to be playing good football. And that's the most important thing for me as a coach is I'm seeing good football. What we're working on during the week, we're getting that out on the weekend. And that's when you feel proud. And that's when you feel happy that these boys have actually worked hard and they've listened to you and they've got something out of this weekend.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, that is actually a very good point because, you know, as you said, 14, it's not the be-all, end-all. It's not as, you know, you're the senior team. You know, that's more of a results-based business, if that's sort of the cliche to use. For yourself personally, I mean, I guess your football journey, you know, you said you used to play coach. How did you fall in love with the game? Where did it all start for you?
I guess my dad took me to Bundoora. I think I played there for most of my career before I was coached by my uncle, Nick. So I was there for 1 year at Spring Hills and he was there under 12s, which was a very good experience. Learning a lot off him, especially because I was assistant coaching with him at the start of the year as well, before I got a new job and it was a bit too hard. So as a player during my junior years, Bundoora was everything to me as a player. And especially playing with my mates, I enjoyed it a lot more playing school soccer, then playing senior football at St. Monica's where I was at high school, was very, very good. And for me, it was just about enjoyment, development as much as I could. There's some stages where you couldn't be bothered, stuff like that, but that's at that age, especially with school and everything like that. But going into it, it's just all about having fun. If you don't have fun, why are you doing it for?
Yeah.
So, and I think especially for the junior ages, and my best advice is to have fun. It's all about winning and losing. It's about developing your skills, developing your attitude, the way you play. And that's what I thought, and that's what how I learned through my experiences brought up from my dad. That's how he always encouraged it. And that was always the way with me as a young junior player.
I mean, you know, I asked Nick the similar question in terms of, you know, your coaching influences that help influence you as a coach. Are there certain things you've picked up along the way to help shape you into the coach that you are now? Is there people like, you know, people you've worked with or people you even look overseas, some of the best, and you've taken lessons from them that you've seen? Is there things that you've picked up from that?
Oh, as in like philosophy kind of things, like you always look at the best coaches in the world and you look at how they coach and their philosophies and how can you actually bring it into your style. But for me, my coaching experiences, the three coaches that I've learnt off, Con Kyriakopoulos, Nick Pospeski, and also Nick Georgopoulos, I've learnt so much. And without them, like their experiences with me, teaching me how to play the game, how to coach the game, has always been the best thing for my coaching experience. And I think those are my three mentors is in coaching, especially now with my Uncle Nick. And with Dean Hennessy as well. Dean Hennessy helps out. He comes to trainings. It's very good to hear what he has to say. It's very good to have his input after a game. So stuff like that, it's always good to have. And I think from my progression and why I'm still coaching is because of that factor.
I mean, you are still pretty young. You have plenty of time to develop as a coach. Is there an end game to this, like a long-term goal you've got with coaching? Is it to get professional? What sort of your goals?
Look, I wouldn't mind eventually getting to the stage where I'm coaching a bit higher in age group.
Yep.
I feel that because I am young, I do connect a lot with younger players, and especially players that would be around my age, say 3 or 4 years younger as well. So definitely for me in the next couple of years, I like to push up in the ages, and see, test myself out, see if I am capable of it, not just being hungry and everything like that for it. So if I do get the opportunity, I love to do that, coaching in the higher age groups. I do think I'm capable of the opportunity to do that. But of course, you got to try something new. Yeah, you always got to push yourself. So that's my best thing for me, is trying to push myself going through with this team now. And then obviously looking forward, I want to be coaching, say, 16s, 17s in the next few years.
Fantastic. I mean, a couple more before we let you go. I mean, you said you wanted to go to the Euros. You've been following it along closely from home.
Yeah, I have. Unfortunately, yeah, had tickets and everything for last year.
Oh, wow.
So I was supposed to go to the France-Germany game.
Mm.
No, France-Germany. Portugal-Germany game.
Jeez, that would have been an absolute cracker to go to as well.
Yeah, I had semi-final tickets. It is a big spew.
Yeah.
I actually didn't watch the Germany-Portugal game just because I didn't want to have that.
I think you made a good decision because it's arguably the game of the tournament as well.
Yeah, I know. So it is sad. Like, I do want to go to the Euros, and I have been following on. It's been really good. I do think the Dutch are a scare, an underdog scare. So I've been saying that for a while now. I do think they're a good threatening attacking team.
Yep.
As they do concede a few goals, I do think attackingly, they are very, very well. Very sharp, very skillful, and just the speed that they're playing in, I think they're going to have a very good, successful tournament going forward.
I was going to say, might be one of the only people, because a lot of people have been saying, you know, that they need to change formation and do this and do that, not happy with Frank de Boer. So,
no,
you know.
I don't mind what they're doing. Yeah. I really don't mind. And I think, like, with the likes of De Jong, Wijnaldum, and you got Dumfries coming along, Depay, I think they're very, very sharp, skillful, a lot of speed. And I think a lot of defensive teams now are just too slow, too old.
Yeah.
Like, I'm very surprised about how England's going.
Yeah.
I think they've been doing so well. They've been playing boring football.
Yeah.
So you do see a bit of shocks. You do see some surprises come through, like underdogs teams. You see some players rise, which is really, really good. And I think that's where a lot of players step up and they actually get those big transfers that they always wanted because of international football.
Mm.
So you'll see a lot of transfer coming through to the likes of some players that are stepping up in the international leagues that you've actually never heard of.
Yeah.
And I think that's the beauty of it as well.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, you know, being an Italian myself, seeing someone like Locatelli, for instance, you know, put his price through the roof of the past few games, it's amazing to see. Just a couple more before we let you go. I mean, I asked the question about, you know, Pascoval and what it means to you. You know, you've been in there for a few years. Tell us a bit about your overriding experience with Pascoval, the community sort of feel that it has to it, I guess, for those that don't really know much about it from your lens.
Look, I think it's like a family-based. There's a lot of people that are supporting you. You're always getting the phone calls, always getting the asking the questions. I think the coaching staff do get along and work together, which is really good. And like Nick was saying, between senior coach and 21s coach, like I see from the outside, that they do work really well together. And I think that's a good point that you need. You definitely need your senior coach, your 21s working together well. And that's where you're going to build your system. So like I work with the under-13s coach, I'll work with the under-15s coach. If I need a player, they need a player, stuff like that. And that works all the way through. And I think that's very, very good. And that's brought in from the technical director, which is very helpful. And you always got the good club people. You got Jimmy Toner. He's been there for many, many years since the beginning. He's the start of the club. He started that club. So I think it's very important that you have those people around, especially that they love the club and they don't want to see the club get into a bad spot, because that will affect them as much as it will affect anyone else. And that's, I think, what's really good about it, is that you have those kind of people around you, around the club as well. And, I think they're going into good things. They get the synthetic pitch soon, which is really good. So I think that's a good step for the club as well. And, that's pretty much on that.
Yeah, no, for sure. Well, Christian, thank you so much for joining us here on Paco Radio. Before we go, guys, for those that are listening, I guess, around the country want to know a bit about the FFA Cup game. It is still 0-0. It's a bit of a chance for an upset tonight. Hopefully, Pasco Vale might dare to dream and find themselves in the round of 32. They did get a win on the weekend against Moreland City. A bit of a rivalry there, a bit of a local rivalry, a 1-0 win for them. And this weekend, I believe, just having a pulling up the fixture now, they're in action on Saturday against Bulleen Lions. So again, a tight one there in their... Well, they're right now right in the mix for promotion this season, so it is really, really exciting. For those that have missed any of it, feel free to head over to our Spotify on FNR Football Nation Radio, Apple Podcasts, wherever you might get them. We'll have those all up a little bit later. Or head over even to our Twitch page or the Pasco Vale Facebook page, and you can watch the full show there. From myself, Nick Tabano, from Christian Sintsev, and from Nick Georgopoulos as well, who joined, thank you very much as well. We'll be back again 7 o'clock next week. David Cheek will be joining us live in studio, so make sure you tune in for that one. Should be a really, really fun show. So goodbye for now, guys.